everyone, this is Coach Ian McDowell, coming to you from the Book Club Mentoring Association today in the City of London, but physically coming to you from rainy, windy, but very beautiful King's Lynn in Norfolk, because I'm here to meet Joe Reynolds, who's otherwise known as Fire Woman. Joe was England's very first ever woman firefighter, and so it's very exciting to be here. Can you tell me about how you came up with the title?
It was a friend of mine, a great friend, Paul Moody, who's a wonderful writer, and he had been asking me for a long, long time. He's like, Joe, you need to write your book, you need to write your story, because you're an inspiration, which you never see in yourself. So I took his advice and he helped me to pitch, and it took about 5 years, but eventually someone took us on, and yep, there I was with my book to write, Fire Woman. And I think once the title was suggested, it was like, I feel like I am that person. It's like my character, my social media, is Fire Woman, and it sort of suits me very well, and I can kind of live up to it in a kind of a warrior style.
Have you got any tips for people who, as a real firefighter, who might have to do some office firefighting?
Gosh, very difficult situation to be in. But yes, I think just being honest is probably the easiest thing or the best way to start things, whatever the situation. Be honest with yourself about what it is and whether or not you can handle it. And if you can't, you may need to get some help. But, face it first and then try and resolve it. The faster I deal with something that I don't like dealing with, the better it's always turned out, because otherwise it's like a massive black cloud hanging over you, and you lose so much sleep, and you start to stress about it, and if you get resolved fast.
And if you're putting yourself at risk by tackling it, I mean, how does it feel to be personally at risk in a situation like that?
I think it's, again, in the something like the fire service, you're trained, so we're trained how to deal with all of the situations pretty much that we're going to come across. I mean, not everything, but in essence, we have an understanding of how we deal with the situation, what our equipment can do, and also what our sort of minds can and bodies can do. And then it's up to people to take control of those and help us make sure that we do it the best way. Yeah, so I guess in life it's pretty similar. You just have to find the best way to equip yourself.
Can you tell us about some exciting or frightening things that happened to you?
Yeah, I was posted to Thetford Fire Station in Norfolk, and Thetford's got some dreadful, very dangerous roads in that area, and it's a notorious black spot for accidents. So bad that they gave us a rescue tender full of cutting equipment, of our own at that station, which was quite a rare thing to have in the 80s. One of my first shouts was to two guys who'd gone fishing. They'd gone off just as it was sort of dark, just on the verge of dawn. It was a road accident on a very narrow main road, full of fog and, bends and difficult visibility. The two guys were going off to their fishing, and this huge farm with the two prongs on it, like a massive tractor thing, hay baler, that's it, came towards them, and it went through their windscreen, one of the guys died instantly, and the other ended up being taken to hospital. But for me, it was quite something, because I felt very much that I was being taken care of by my boss. Was making sure that I was involved, but I wasn't, put in a position that I couldn't help myself. He made sure that I could handle what I needed to do, and also treat the people around me with great dignity. Yeah, so that was one of the first things.
So having a good boss was like one of the most important things when you went through situations like that.
It was everything. He was such a very calm, very dry, humoured. He was really good at his job, but he didn't talk about it. He just got on with it. He was a really big guy, 6'2", dark hair, kind of a Mexican moustache, always rolling. He used to roll his tobacco and cigarettes all over the place. But yeah, Nigel, he was my blessing, really, because when I got to the station, he's from training, he said, Joe, you know, you've made it for your training. Everyone's been watching you. Now just get on with the job. We don't, you know, we're not going to judge you now. Just do what you need to do.
You've actually also been an entrepreneur. Tell us about that after you left the fire service.
Yeah, I've had such a fabulous life so far, you know, long may it last, but I had such a lot of fun and I absolutely loved it. I used to do product development, bespoke product development for retailers like M&S and Harrods, Tesco, one-off development, and then they would give me, we work a long way in advance actually, usually about 18 months on a new idea, like a new colour of glitter or a new shape of a plate or a new finish. Then I'd go looking for that product and, you know, come up with concepts. So I used to travel all over the world, going to different trade fairs and also going to places like New York with buyers and selectors looking for finishes and ideas and concepts. Then that would get translated into product. So find a factory to get it made and then have the product made in volume and shipped the right product at the right to the right place at the right time with no disasters. And ultimately, I ended up starting a business of my own with Julia Weaver, and it was called the Silk Road Design Company. And we started with one girl in an office in China, and we ended up, yeah, with a trading office in Shenzhen, importing in. And yeah, I left that after about 6 years, but I absolutely loved it.
And if you hadn't been in the fire service, do you think you would have coped as well with, you know, some of the hair-raising moments in being an entrepreneur?
Yeah, there's so many hair-raising moments, from everything from like when you're driving around in China where they've got the most dangerous roads on earth, to people coming up to you who are working for you and saying, oh, that 40-foot container's disappeared. It's like, well, where's it gone? Those kind of moments. And, you know, actually, we were always seen as quite dynamic women and almost like warrior creatures. Striding around the trade fairs.
Now, there's a famous photograph of you sandwiched between two very sort of strong-looking young men, and they're teaching you how to sort of train a hose in the right way. But you're clearly a woman amongst men. And what was that like?
Yeah, I guess because I was trying to work so hard on getting through my fire brigade training, I had to kind of accept the fact that I was that woman among the men. I didn't really choose that, and it wouldn't be something that I would say, oh yeah, I was a girl among the guys. It happened by chance, in the same way that I was sort of hailed as the first. It was all by chance. I would just say to any girl, just, you know, don't lose sight of who you are, keep your sense of humour, keep your character. Make sure that you're presenting the best you, which is not the you necessarily that everyone else wants to see, but the best you that makes you happy to live with yourself. And then I think you can go anywhere and pretty much do anything with that attitude, given a chance.
So Joe Reynolds, firewoman, no discussion would be complete without actually going back a little bit to what happened at Grenfell Tower. And I understand that you were asked to, you know, comment on Grenfell at the time. Obviously, we, you know, all of us just felt completely helpless when we saw what had happened. Can you tell us a bit about that?
Yeah, I mean, I think I was in shock with the rest of the nation watching it on television. And it was like 9/11 all over again in our country, that feeling that you were absolutely helpless and you couldn't believe what you were seeing, but you're kind of drawn to watch because you can't not watch. Then, yeah, I think just the next day or the day after, I had a call on a Saturday morning on my mobile phone from BBC World asking me to go down and do an interview that afternoon in front of the burned-out towers. So I got on the train and ran across London and got, you know, the taxi driver was so sweet. And I told him what I was doing and he's like, gave me a, he wouldn't let me pay for my fare. because I told him I'd been a firefighter. That's really sweet. He found the place for me. Then I found the news crews, and they kind of asked me, you know, they did about two interviews for about 3 minutes, about an hour apart, and they were asking me about what my thoughts were about. They tried to ask me about materials, but, you know, there was obviously something seriously wrong with the materials, but I can't really comment on it because it's not my place. My place was to say that I hoped, well, I knew whatever happened there, the thing that will stay with everyone who had anything to do with it would be the people that they couldn't save. It wouldn't be the 49 people that they did. It would be the one person that they didn't get to. And tragically, in that tower, there were a lot of people that they couldn't reach. So that I know haunts people. And, you know, I was very, very proud to watching Danny Cotton, who was the chief in London, Metropolitan Chief Fire, I think she's the commissioner, that's her title, or something like that. Anyway, she's a woman and she's running London Fire Brigade. And she handled it with such dignity and such, you know, grace. And she just cared about her firefighters.
Jo Reynolds, we're very much looking forward to welcoming you to the Book Club Mentoring Association's 4th of April meeting in the City of London. More details on the BCMA website, which is thebookclubmentoringassociation.com. And just tell us finally what you're most looking forward to about coming to speak to a city audience.
I'm very much looking forward to meeting all of the people who are going to be there. Every time I go to a new audience, I meet great people who have great stories, but also have some fantastic questions, which always, like, I think, where did they get that from? So that's the sort of thing I love. So, yeah, bring your questions.
Jo Reynolds, thank you very much indeed. We look forward to seeing you.